The Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Let's get straight to it. Barry, how are you doing?
Yeah, look, it's as we were saying before we started recording, it's such an anticlimax. You know, you dream, you remind yourself all week or in the last 2 weeks that, look, this is a huge challenge. We're playing Kerry. You know, we're 10-3. They're 1-3 on. The chances are they're going to win it. But then you go to bed thinking of the homecoming and thinking of, will you go out to the banquet after we win it and stuff like that, and you dare to dream. And then, unfortunately, when the final whistle blows, Croke Park, although before the game was a coliseum and a cacophony of noise and an atmosphere that was unbelievable. And I don't need to tell you this, but it's a lonely place 10 minutes after the final whistle when you're after being bet. So look, we sorted out all the, I stayed in Dublin last night, so we sorted out all the problems of Galway football, nearly got the world's problems sorted out over a few pints as well, but down the road today and move on with life as a Galway supporter betting on All-Ireland final.
Mother God, Barry Colnan has just laid out for us a September's evening that we've experienced on multiple occasions, Billy Joe Padden. We know all of those thoughts. We know all of those feelings and we can empathise.
Yeah, it probably may hit even harder for some of the Galway supporters, considering we've had such a frequency of it. And sometimes you can become numb to that. It probably makes that bit more difficult for Galway, because I suppose, you know, Galway generally have that confidence, that swagger, that they go up to these games and feel really good about themselves, even when they are underdogs, and expect to win. And I think they performed yesterday in that manner, expecting to win, and that's to their credit. And I think the same with any defeat that Mayo have faced in the past following an All-Ireland final. It's a crossroads. After that, and it's up to the team themselves and the supporters to some extent, in terms of, I suppose, what will the atmosphere around the county be over the winter, as to how you take these defeats and how you move on from them. And in some ways, I think Mayo might be a good example for Galway in that regard, in that very often Mayo have taken these defeats, tried to learn from them, come back stronger again the next year, and I'm sure that's what Galway will be looking to try and do.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're kind of starting at the end then in that sense, Barry. But like, you know, while you were dissecting and writing all the wrongs in your minds over a few points, like that has to have come up quite a lot in your conversations with Galway fans. We need to build on this now. Is that fair?
Yeah, and we, you know, I think there was a realisation that it's very, very difficult to get back to an All-Ireland final, because when they start off at the start of next year, there's only one goal they can now have, is to win the All-Ireland. Because you, as a management team, and Billy, you know this, that when you start off at the start of the year, you say, well, goal number one is get back to where you got to the previous year, and try and improve from that. So the goal has to be to get to the All-Ireland final and improve from that. The only way you can improve is by winning the All-Ireland. So that's where they're going to have to be. Easier said than done. We might, you know, we'll get into how the game was won and lost, I'm sure, but to get to a higher level, Galway will need to improve. And maybe one of the areas that we didn't get enough improvement on yesterday was our bench and the depth of our panel. And I'm always slow to give an opinion on who should have come on or what changes should have been made, because at the end of the day, we're not in Pier Stadium on a Tuesday and Thursday to see who's in form, who has picked up a knock, who has done what. So that we can only kind of base it on, what has gone before and history, and that's never really the best way of judging it. But that's certainly an area that Galway are going to have to try and improve on to get back to that level, is build the depth of the panel. Because if you look at what Kerry did yesterday, Killian Spillane did really well when he came in. I thought Adrian Spillane did well, although he didn't score. And they made a big difference. They made a big difference to the Kerry team, where maybe off the bench we didn't have the same impact, which resulted in us looking a little bit like we ran out of legs in the last 10 minutes. So that's certainly an area that we're going to have to improve on. And another thing, I think, and switching codes, Henry Shefflin mentioned it when Galway were betting the semi-final, is that he expects his players to go back now and really perform for their clubs. And I think Pádraig will say that too, in that maybe at times in the past, if you look back historically when we were really successful in 98, 2000, 2001, the majority of them Galway players at the time were nearly always man of the match in club championship games. So Paul Clancy, Derek Savage, all of these guys, we now need all of the other guys to be consistently 9 out of 10s, 8 out of 10s for their clubs.
There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there, Billy Joe? It's a lot of backing up now for these guys to do.
There is. You have to look at it as well from the point of view where they've come from in the space of a couple of months. I'd be the first one to say I held my hand up and I would say that Galway were only going to go as far. 3 months ago I said Galway were only going to go as far as Paul Conroy and Comer and Walsh would bring them. And I'm looking at it now and I'm thinking, yes, they're still very important, those players, big players. And Conroy and Comer weren't as influential as they normally would have been in the final. But you still had big performances from other Galway players who really, stood up, improved, and showed themselves, most importantly, and Galway supporters, that, look, they can excel at this level. It wasn't enough. I think as Barry mentioned there, you have to have a bench that has experience that'll come in the league in the championship next year. You look into the Galway bench the last day, there probably wasn't that many, two or three fellas that, I would have known, Barry would know them much better than me, that you would be comfortable throwing in there. And then the impact of the Kerry bench was absolutely huge. But it's very hard, I think, and I think it's even harder now than it was. Maybe say when Galway came and won that All-Ireland in 98, it's hard now to come on a run, kind of, when you haven't been there. You nearly need, not saying you have to lose one to win one, but you have to show that you are at that level in them big games against the Dublins, against the Kerrys, in Croke Park, put to the wire, put under severe pressure, and you come through that test, because it is a test by fire. And I think that in some ways, those Galway players will draw on this game and the way they performed next season and the season after, because the margins were so small, they were so close to winning it. And it may feel like a missed opportunity, and in some respects it will be a missed opportunity, considering that Kerry will probably never be as nervous again going into a final and never feel as under as much pressure. But then again, Galway, from their point of view, if they're to face Kerry again in the future, they can look at it from the point of view that they're going to improve, and I think they will.
Well said. I mean, look, the early stages, Barry, like, there was one point in those first 25 minutes, one stage in those first 25 minutes when I was kind of saying to people, geez, Kerry are awful, they're playing poor. And then I just stopped myself and said, here we go again. Yet another Galway performance in this championship where I'm going to spend the next 5-10 minutes telling myself that the opposition aren't good enough. At what point are we going to stop and realise Galway are causing this as well, and Galway are ruthlessly efficient down the other end, as they have been all season? It was a brilliant start, but you probably needed something more than a 1-point lead from that first half performance. Is that fair?
Yeah, 100%. And I was actually chatting to someone today, and that point was made, and that maybe we, knowing what we know now, we needed more at half time. Knowing what we knew before the game started, if someone said you'd be a point up at half time, I'd be absolutely delighted. But I think at the time, like, Pauly Clifford, like, he looked like Bambi. His legs were gone. He looked really nervous every time he went for the ball. Jack Lynn, took him to the cleaners. Paul Gainey looked leggy. David Moran looked leggy. Sean O'Shea didn't touch the ball, I think, in the first half. So Galway had a huge opportunity to try and really go for the juggler in that first half. And as I said, knowing what we know now, if we had gone in 2 or 3 points up, and I think at one stage we were, was a 5-2 at one stage? I think it was 5-2 at one stage. We had an opportunity to make it 6-2, and I think that would have really put doubts in Kerry's mind, and a bit like it was 16-14 in the second half, and we had a really good opportunity to go 17-14, and we just, there's a macro missed opportunity, But in that game itself, there was lots of little micro missed opportunities. And that's, you know, I think Billy Joe's point is absolutely on the button in that it is very difficult to come. And you could say this is, like, Galway haven't been at this level previously. This group haven't been, you know, 2018 is we've had a huge turnover in players. There's only five of them have been involved. You need that experience of getting to this stage and experiencing that pressure, that intensity, to learn from it. And I think, you know, it should stand to Galway, but it's, again, it's a huge, huge challenge. But being a Division One, I think, will be a big help to us next year as well.
Billy Joe, like, Galway's attack play early on, Johnny Heaney's chance, John Daly's balls through, it seemed really positive to go with their really positive structure. But then they seemed to stop kicking the ball in as much towards the end of that first half. I'm wondering what you're thinking on that. Could they have sent some more ball in direct? Were they right to be that, you know, place that prize on possession?
I'm a bit surprised, all right, yeah, that they didn't probably try some more, you know, like, the one thing that Jason Foley does well for Kerry, he's very fast. And he comes out on a ball very well. You know, he's very quick in a straight line, tries to play from in front, only was really bothered about Comer. Like, his sole goal in life was just to stop Comer, and he did a great job on him. So, and I'm a bit surprised that Galway didn't try, you know, loft more balls in to try and catch him in behind or something like that, because in some ways, you know, it played to Foley's strengths a bit that Comer kept coming out in front. In all fairness to Comer, though, they're his strengths also. He's really good at coming out on a ball, winning it, turning and going straight at you. And it just didn't work out for him. So I'm a bit surprised there wasn't more 50-50 chances taken like that. But I do think there was a change in tactic from Kerry, definitely after halftime and probably coming up to halftime, where they weren't as keen to lob in the 50-50 ball. It was a change in approach for them in the second half. So they probably had the opportunity to drop more bodies back. And I think that Morley was really quite flustered. Not just him, but the whole Kerry defence were flustered with the way Galway were moving them around in that first 25 minutes, but they gradually got a grip on it. And he was able to get a bit closer, spend more time in the D and impact that. Whereas if kind of the bulk of the scores that Galway got after that, apart from screamers from Shane Walsh, was kind of late runs from Killian McDade coming through spaces where, you know, Morley and a few Kerry defenders would be pushed out of position, and he's using that dynamic running ability to drive through the middle. So I mean, I am a bit surprised, but look here, it's not easy. It's not easy for Galway in those situations where you're thinking, you know, possession is vital to us here. Kerry probably did better around the middle of the field throughout the whole game, so you're concerned about that. You don't ever want to give away turnovers, and Galway showed when they held on to the ball that they had the patience to get it to the right person at the right time, and then Walsh did his thing, and that wasn't such a bad approach.
See, just to add to that, I think there's such a fear now. I think one of the reasons, Billy Joe, that Kerry stopped doing that is that, okay, not every team is scoring from turnovers, but I don't have the stats in front of me, but from looking at it, and just something I noticed, I was like, every single time Galway give the ball away or Kerry give the ball away, it's nearly resulting in a scoring opportunity. So I think if Galway was, you know, I think Galway were a little bit afraid of that, or afraid isn't the right word, but they were just conscious of that if we start kicking in high ball and we don't win it, we're literally giving the ball back to Kerry. Teams are so good now that, yeah, it mightn't be kicked down the field and three kick passes like maybe traditionalists will be looking for. But over time, they'll build a scoring opportunity that allows someone into a pocket of space to get a shot off. And it just felt that with every turnover, both for Galway and against Galway, was resulting in a shot at goals. And I think Galway were just a little bit conscious of that we were keeping the ball. Like, even if you think of a guy that had a brilliant game, Jack Lynn, a cornerback, he went for one of those in the second half outside of the right, kind of floated in towards Damien Comer. It was cut out, I think, by Tadhg Morley down the pitch to score. So like, if that's done two or three times in the game, all of a sudden you're going, this isn't working. So I think that's definitely in the back of their minds when they're looking at a game plan.
Well, sure, like, if you're spot on, like, because even if you look at Kerry, were really, and to be honest with you, they were like this in the first half against Mayo, where they were so direct trying to get the ball into Clifford. Didn't really work out for them. You know, Clifford had more success actually in the game against Galway, easier conditions, and he looks fitter as well than he did against Mayo. Won two clean marks, but it still wasn't enough, because it didn't counterweight the fact that the point you're making, Barry, that he kicked the two balls that went in, he kicked, caught and kicked over the bar. There was probably five or six others that Galway just hoovered up and went down the field and get a score. If nothing else, take all that energy out of your legs, you transitioning basically everyone into a defensive position then after that. So it was absolutely clear to me that Galway or that Kerry changed their approach in the second half. And something that I think was it was Jimmy McGuinness that mentioned after the game, that it was that period in the 60th to 70th minute where Galway had a couple of those attacks. I think that one you mentioned with Glenn was one of those, where there was three wides and a couple of interceptions and drop shorts. And Galway's scoring rate was so high. I think, you know, at the start of the second half, it was like 90%, which is unheard of in an All-Ireland final. But it was just unfortunate for them that all those errors kind of came in a row. You know, if they'd mixed in one or two of those in the first half and spread them out, it wouldn't have had as big an impact. And that's, you know, that's just unfortunate at such a key time of the game. But I think as well, it that plays into my, and Rob, you're sick listening to me about this, particularly in All-Ireland finals, particularly at this highest level. I would put a lot of that down to fatigue at that stage in the game. And I'm a big believer in making substitutions early. And the minute I saw Adrian Spillane and Killian Spillane coming on, I thought that was the right move. I thought it gave Kerry the best chance of winning at that stage because it gave those two lads time to get into the game and time, you know, to use that energy that they need. Every lad, every player at that level has 40 or 50 minutes of absolute serious intensity. You know, it's only the freaks that can do it for 75, 76 minutes. But they were able to use that. Whereas I'm not saying that Pádraig Joyce was slow to substitutions either, because he knows better than me what he has on the bench and who he can trust. And I think that's the big job for him is figuring that out.
I'm curious, Barry, just to focus in on Comer for a second, who blew my mind this year. He was a sensational contributor to Gaelic football across the whole campaign. So, like, how much yesterday was about his marker Foley? How much was about the quality of service coming in? And how much was about just his own performance overall?
That's a big question. I think tactically, Galway was set up much differently yesterday they have mixed up the way they've set up in a lot of different games throughout the year. You could never say Galway, particularly defensively, yeah, they're fairly well structured and it's fairly not easy to read, but it's a fairly deliberate structure they have defensively. Offensively, they changed everything yesterday. We had seen, you know, maybe they were playing the long game. Maybe they said, look, let's play Shane Walsh wide out left, right up until, you know, we really, really need to, our biggest game of the year. And then we put him to full forward. And they brought Tom O'Sullivan in there. He wasn't comfortable. And if Galway did win, Jack O'Connor would face huge questions over, you know, why you would leave a guy who was struggling physically and athletically on Shane Walsh for so long. And yesterday was, you know, as Galway supporters, we've probably always gone, geez, why don't they play? How good would we be if we Damien Comer and Shane Walsh in a full forward line? And unfortunately, yesterday it just didn't work for Damien, because maybe Shane was on such a run. You know, he was getting away from Tom O'Sullivan that bit easier. The guys out the field were able to find him that little bit easier, that it just kind of stifled Damien's game. And who knows, maybe if Shane was in the half forward line and playing a similar role that he had up to that, that Damien could have been the marquee forward inside. It is difficult to get two inside forwards into the game constantly. Possibly maybe Damien could have gone to out around the middle of the pitch maybe for a while, who knows. He had one great mark in the second half, but again, you know, they're not going to analyse it tonight or tomorrow, but they will sit down in the next week, in the next 2 weeks, and look at all these little things, and they're all fixable. And I think that's the real bonus for Galway, is that everything that we did yesterday that didn't go right for us is fixable. Be it, how do we get Damien into the game if he's a bit quiet? How do we use our bench a little bit more? We struggled on kickouts in terms of ones that were going long. And in the first half, when we could have gone for the jugular, some of our hand passes left us a little bit short at times and let us down. So how can we just be a little bit sharper to rise, to close that 4-point gap that there was yesterday and push on from there. So, but in terms of Damien, it didn't go well from yesterday. You have to give huge credit to Jason Foley. he's much better, to be honest. He's much better than I thought he was. He was excellent yesterday. But as I said, you know, maybe Damien's game was just sacrificed because Shane was going so well.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
How good a final was it, Billy Joe, for you?
Yeah, that's a funny one. Like, I was there, obviously, and I think the fact that there was no minor match or a match in fourth, that there was real tension. You know, there was no distractions. There was no distractions beforehand. There was real tension, I felt, in the stadium, you know, from the first throw-in, right from the start. So I found it absolutely gripping. You know, I thought it was really good. I don't know how anyone can say it wasn't a good game of football when you consider the excellence you saw from Shane Walsh and from Clifford in that first half. Okay, you know, I think, you know, real great games of Gaelic football have that element where you have goals and you have, you know, something, you know, that those big scores and how people react to them. And of course, the game didn't have that, didn't really have any goal scoring opportunities apart from that Heaney one that was well blocked by O'Brien. So, yeah, but no, I kind of have no complaints. We've seen some turgid games of football over the last couple of years in big games, but this wasn't one of them. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think as well, that was a lot of that was down to the way Galway approached the game. I was absolutely amazed in the first 5 or 6 minutes. The first kick out Kerry had, Galway were so aggressive. And like I, a lot of my job on the day is to keep an eye on what the managers are doing. And like instantly, Pádraig Joyce was up on his feet out when that, you know, when he knew it was a Kerry kick out, and he was pushing. You know, they left basically Clifford and I can't remember, it must have been Kelly, and then Gleeson was covering Ganey. It was really, really brave, and it was a statement of intent by Galway. And I suppose in some ways, if you're a player in that dressing room, a Galway player, and you're saying, well, this is the manager's plan, he believes in us this much that we're going to be that aggressive that we can win, that gives you belief. And it certainly wasn't what I was expecting, because I was kind of expecting Galway to be trying, you know, rope-a-dope them a bit, be really defensive, and then hope that you'd have enough on the counter-attack, because Galway have some great counter-attacking players, whether it's, you know, Comer and Walsh, and, you know, Conroy can get forward from midfield and get scores. You know, you can see the power McDade has running through the middle. You know, they have good counter-attacking players as well if they want to play really defensive. But I think that Galway deserve credit for making it the game it was as well.
Yeah, this is the Mayo News Football Podcast, and Galway are our big rivals. That's why we're focused on Galway a little bit here, you know, because sometimes, like, we just think there's a lot of podcasts out there that are going to be spending a lot of time rightly eulogising Kerry football and the new wave. We will talk about Kerry a little bit more in a second, but I just felt yesterday, Barry, like exactly what Billy Joe was talking about. I just felt so impressed with Galway, because there's been times like against Derry in the first half when I just didn't like the way the game was played. It was being played out, you know. So at that point, I didn't like anything Galway were doing as much as I didn't like anything Derry were doing. But yesterday just reaffirmed my faith in what I had seen in the Armagh match, parts of the Roscommon game. It was just really positive. It was great to watch. It had elements that are missing from Mayo's attack play in previous All-Irelands, just a calmer way about it. And the last point I'll make is, like, all of the big moments, I turned to the couple of people beside me after the game, all of the big buzzing moments, the chance, the singing, the turnovers, defence, most of them seemed to come from Galway, except for the last 10 minutes. It was a weird way to lose an All-Ireland final in that context.
I personally thought it was an excellent game of football as well. And what I liked about Galway and Billy Joe touched on it from, I think it was from Shane Walsh's 45. Kieran Malloy had picked up Paul Ganey, which I felt was an unusual matchup, but went well. Obviously, Ganey was gone by half time. As Shane was lining up for the 45, Kieran Malloy left Paul Ganey inside with David Clifford and only Sean Kelly. And I was like, this is kamikaze stuff. But it's obviously something they had targeted, but you have to go, you know, if you want to play that out to its full, you have to give huge credit to Shane Ryan, who I thought had a huge influence on the game yesterday. I thought he was exceptional in goal. A couple of really standout kickouts, particularly the one when they were under the cross. We had gone 16-14 up. He found Gavin White with an absolute dinger that set up one of their scores. I thought he was exceptional. When we did put a squeeze on, he constantly just came up with the goods. And he's obviously a shoo-in for an All-Star. And in Galway's attacking play, I really liked it, I must say. And not just because I'm from Galway, but just looking at it as a football, I could see sometimes it's difficult to describe kind of heads up football. People say, oh, heads up football, and they just throw it out there because it's a good tagline. But John Daly was going up the field and he was looking to kick. He was looking to see, you know, look at the ball he gave to Johnny Heaney. He gave Shane Walsh a couple of great balls. Rob Finnerty, who it surprised me he was taken off. He wasn't having a huge influence on the game, but I thought he could create, and he was just, he would have taken attention constantly, because they would have been worried about Rob Finnerty, because Rob has the ability that not to be in a game hugely for 50 minutes and pop over 2 points at the end. But I felt he was getting on a lot of ball and trying to create, and particularly in the first half, he was coming out, looping around, taking ball, but constantly looking to see what was inside. And I thought offensively, I thought Galway got it really right in terms of how they were trying to play the game yesterday. But unfortunately, we didn't get it right in terms of, again, back to the macro and micro, we got it right in terms of our approach, but on the micro side of things, we didn't get enough return. You know, none of our forwards outside of Shane Walsh scored, which is Johnny Heaney got 1 point. Was it the first or second point of the game? Outside of that, Shane got 9, Killian McDay got 4 from midfield. Kieran Malloy and Jack Lynn got scored, so we didn't. You're not going to win. If you look at the Kerry forwards, I think out of the starting forwards, I think they, outside of Sean O'Shea, they all scored from play, and Killian Spillane scored as well. So that's just where the winning of the game was, really.
Yeah, I suppose just on the Rob Finnerty thing, I agree. I would have given him more time. I think he learned an awful lot from his performance yesterday, in that he did so many things right, as you rightly pointed out, Barry. But I think, you know, he's a talented player. He's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger. He's a great, great left foot, good finisher. You know, at some stage, I think as he gets more confidence, he'll know again that I have to try and make something happen. I can't just recycle it all the time. Somebody has to do that. Somebody, you know, they needed somebody other than Shane Walsh to just try and make something happen. And he got a possession. And I my personal thing would have been I think if you got the message to him, look here, Rob, next time you get the ball, you know, in a decent position, just back yourself and just see what can happen there. Because I think Galway needed something like that to happen. And I think that Finnerty will learn an awful lot from that, you know, for the rest of his career, because as Barry said there, you know, so much of the stuff he did in the game was positive, and I suppose kind of intelligent football, but sometimes you have to take a risk too.
Afterwards, Park Joyce was annoyed at a few decisions. Cold light of day. Billy Joe, you go first before we bring Barry in. Was he wrong? Do you forgive him? What you know, for his emotions afterwards? Well, was he right?
Well, can I qualify this by saying I did not watch the Sunday game and I did not watch it back, but I had the benefit of a replay from where I was sitting, and I was miles away from it where I was sitting in real time. I understand, and I can see where he's coming from, that the initial tackle, high tackle that goes across could be deemed a high tackle, and that could have been a free out for Comer. And I think you'd find it hard to argue with that. Now, after that, when the hand goes in, it is held on to, and they go to ground, and that's a free out in my book as well. But that might not matter if the first challenge was deemed to be a free. And that's the way I would look at it, and could go either way. Probably, what, you know what? If it was a Mayo person there, I'd be very annoyed that he didn't get a free. And I think any time you go in like that with a sort of a, you know, a high arm across like that, a lot of those are given as frees now. I think Galway were very unlucky in that instance. What do you think,
yeah,
Barry?
Barry, go for it.
Yeah, I think overall, I think the ref had a fine game. I think he was under pressure. Like, if you expand the point, you know, and he deserved an All-Ireland final, absolutely. I think they need to be careful, though. Like, the fact that he's from the same club as a trainer, I'm not saying this is not going to say that I thought he'd poor. I just think that they just need to be careful in those sort of things, to take that out of the situation, because it's obviously always going to be talked about. But I think that situation, I agreed it exactly the same as Billy Joe. If he felt If he felt that the tackle on John Daly wasn't a free, that's fine. I felt it probably was, but if he felt it wasn't a free, that's his decision. And then he was right. John Daly did pull in his hand, and it was a free against him.
Yeah, no.
Overall, ref had a fine game.
Yeah, it was at such a critical stage as well, though, in the game. And I was talking to Borg Joyce afterwards. He felt it was a huge turning point, and to be honest with you, I agree with him. I think you get away with that when you get back out the field. It was nearly worse that it was in such an area that it was a difficult shot for Clifford, because you're just expecting him to do the difficult thing. If it was a sitter in front of the goals, it wouldn't maybe have given his team such a lift. The fact then that the linesman makes him take three steps back again and he still nails it, and that just gives the Kerry crowd a huge lift. It gives the players a lift. And when you're sitting there in the crowd, you felt the game ebb and flow like that with reactions, with those sort of reactions to key passages of the game. So it was a huge turning point.
And just a quick point on that free. Like, and I must also say, now we have to put our hands up, the free that Killian McDade got wasn't a free. It was a spot on tackle by Gavin White. I can't see, if it was the other way around, we'd be complaining about that one. But Shane Walsh's free, then David Clifford's free from practically the sideline. Like, they're moments of absolute genius. And, you know, I don't need to talk to you about missing important frees in all Ireland finals, but that was just it was worth the entrance fee alone to see those two frees in front of 82,000 people in a pressure environment that is unimaginable, to have the coolness, the calmness, and the ability to nail those two frees was, you know, it's exceptional stuff altogether.
We interrupt this week's show to emphasise that these free podcasts couldn't happen without the support of our sponsors, the Oxford Arms in London, as you've heard from already, and Nigel Reap, printing signs and office supplies. No better place to go as you're preparing for your club events than Nigel Reap. So thanks to all our people who are backing us, friends of the podcast and supporters of what we do. We couldn't do it without you. Barry, as long as I'm talking into microphones, I'm going to be remembering Shane Walsh's performance in that All-Ireland final.
Yeah, can I just say on that, I suppose, because I've been critical of Walsh in the past, and I suppose I still would be critical in some respects in that his talent is absolutely huge. It's incredible, the talent he has. But he hasn't been as consistent. Now, I suppose I'm lucky enough to watch enough football, and Barry obviously even more so will have seen him do things like that, I'm sure, in club games and for Galway and league games and those performances. And it's an absolute joy to watch. And I'm delighted for him for on his performance. I don't know him personally at all. Never met him. But that he got to show that skill that he has on the biggest stage, and anyone that didn't know his ability knows it now. You know, we know it in Galway and Mayo because we fear him, and Galway know him because he's one of your own. And I'm absolutely delighted that people all over Ulster and even in Dublin and Munster get to see what he is capable of. I suppose the thing is for Galway now, after that will be, you know, can he be a bit more consistent? And no one expects anyone to play like that every day they go out, because that was, you know, it's a once in a lifetime performance. But his free taking had been outstanding all year, but he'd been quite from open play in some of those other games as well. But, you know, when you're a big player, when you stand up on the biggest day and you produce, what more can you ask?
I suppose a year till Sunday kind of highlights or heightens the sense of awe that we have around some of the performances in 98. And then Pádraig's second half in particular against Meath will go down as, you know, one of the top performances of all time. Peter Canavan in 95. I think Shane Walsh's, and I must say, like David Clifford's as well, to be fair to him, like he was absolutely outstanding. But looking at a Galway point of view, like I would say Shane Walsh's performance goes, like if someone argues or makes a statement that it was the greatest performance in an All-Ireland final of all time, you know, very difficult to prove that it wasn't. You know, and some of the scores he got were just unbelievable. And a little bit surprising that Kerry allowed him kind of turn inside a couple of times and see open field and see green grass in front of him that he will run into and kick all day. So we needed it, and we spoke about it. You know, anyone that I was chatting to before the game, we felt someone was going to have to come up with an absolutely 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 performance for us to have a chance. And as I said, Shane did. Unfortunately, the rest of our forwards probably didn't contribute enough. So that's where the issue was, where David Clifford's performance was probably, I would feel, a tad below Shane Walsh's. In saying that, it was still absolutely outstanding. But he had the support cast to kind of chip in for a few more scores as well that just got them over the line.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. It's like, I suppose James Horan, and I think in 96, scored 5 points from play as well, from half forward and in a losing effort. And that was an amazing performance. Like, look, not as spectacular as what Shane Walsh did. I think the funny thing about the Clifford, if you're rating both performances, I probably understand why you'd give the nod to Walsh, considering he didn't have the help. He was under more pressure. But I think it says something about what we expect from Clifford, in that you nearly expect that sort of stuff. And in some ways, there was a lot of versatility to his scores. You know, 2 marks, you know, he won clean ball in the air. He got 2 lovely points off his right boot from play. I think he must have got another one from play off his left boot. And I really liked the one where, you know, I think it was Sean Kelly was all over him in the second half. He just got a nudge just as the ball was arriving to knock it out onto the Cusick stand side. He was quick enough then to get onto it, pick it up and get a right footed shot away over the bar. Like, not a spectacular score, but very, very hard to do. And in some respects, you see a lot on Twitter, the highlight reels of Shane Walsh's 2 points where he cuts in from the left wing. An old traditional maybe left half forward position where you'd cut in and smack at the wall over the bar. But I thought the point in the second half, probably it was close to me because I was where I was sitting in the Hogan stand, where he felt like he held the ball for 30, 35 seconds and Hill couldn't take it off him. And then he found, you know, then he drove past somebody using the strength as well. And then, after having all that taken out of his legs, he still had the right finish. You know, outstanding.
Incredible. Actually, I feel, lads, that, like, you know, that ridiculous sideline free he was trying to take, I said to the people beside me, like, I think, I felt he might get this. I think we all did because of the day he was having. And had he got that, I think Galway's press on the next kick out, I think they're leveling the game. I think it's going to extra time if he kicks that, which is, like, this is a 4-point loss. You know, we know, Barry, we lost a 1-point thriller in 17. Like, so, you know, this is more comprehensive, but I just think there were still fine margins in it that it could have swung the other way and it could have been extra time. Like,
yeah, look, on 67 minutes it was level. So I think overall, you know, 4 points, is it overly reflective of Kerry's dominance in the game? I don't think so, but they got 2 late scores, you know, that put it to bed more soundly. But yeah, look, I was looking at it, and again, a bit like how the game was going to go, I had 2 conflicting thoughts in my mind. Like, one was, that's way too far out, we need to try and work something here. And the other one was, this fella could get this. And to be fair to him, there was no issue with distance. It just tailed. It tailed off to the left, and, you know, big players have to back themselves in big, big moments, and that was a big moment. And, you know, if you have, and it's very difficult, you know, we've all played sport, and Billy Joe, I'm sure you won't take offence, we're probably not the top elite guys that the Shane Walshes, the David Cliffords, the Pádraig Joyces, the Conor Callaghans. And if you look at it in other sports, the Brian O'Driscolls, the Tiger Woods, these Rory McIlroys, these guys backed themselves. And they, when Shane Walsh put that down, when David Clifford put that free down on the sideline, never, you know, he wouldn't have had any doubt that he was going to score that. And Shane would have backed himself to go for it. So, you know, we have to trust him in that as well.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
Lads, I talked to a few Kerry. Let's finish on this before we go to the clubhouse section. I talked to a few Kerry fans, and they, like, these are some of the comments I had afterwards. God, for 65 minutes, I was awful nervous. And was another one. You know, I rang my dad with at halftime, and he was telling me to calm down. It's going to be all right. There was a few of these kind of comments along the way. One guy said to me, just like, that wasn't a brilliant win, was it? We didn't leave any major mark there. So I don't know where their heads are at, because I think that was a fine All-Ireland title for Kerry, Billy Joe. This is a really, really good Kerry side. But what's so impressive is the amount of players that have been revitalised with a much better system, much better structure. Yeah, what do you think?
Look, you know, hearing a lot of the players speak after the game, the one sense you got from all of them was they felt the pressure and they felt a weight lifted off their shoulders afterwards. I think you saw that in some of the performances. I think you probably saw it in some of the performances of the more experienced players, the players that maybe have to be a bit more vocal in the dressing room, the people that maybe have to be verbalising that all that sort of pressure for the last 2 weeks. You know, Sean O'Shea, you know, he's captain, didn't play great, nowhere near the standards he can achieve. David Moore and Paul Gainey as well, the two players with huge experience, probably having to do a lot of talking in the dressing room the last 2 weeks, how you deal with this pressure. And it was interesting for me that, you know, the players that really stood up in the second half, that when it was important, were fellas that probably had no baggage at all and were just out there trying to win, you know, their first game without, you know, feeling that much pressure. In terms, you know, Graham O'Sullivan, I thought, had a big impact on the second half, driving forward with the ball. And then, you know, the subs coming in, it's always a different mindset when you have the subs coming in, because you have something to prove in the group, because you feel you should be starting. So it's you don't feel the pressure that the maybe the starters would feel in terms of having to perform. And so, look, I think that the Kerry team are, you know, I wouldn't consider them to be as complete a team as, say, the great Dublin team of the last 10 years. I think that they were just like such a machine. But there is room for improvement with this Kerry team. There is no doubt about that. You know, like O'Connor, you know, is going to play midfield for Kerry, I'd say, for a long time. Jack Barry has improved. I thought he was, you know, really physical around the middle of the field the last day. You always need a player like that. Gavin White's exceptional, and he didn't look fully fit as well the last day. Tom O'Sullivan is a very, very good player, but I think Galway taught that he's not very comfortable in the, you know, right in front of the goals and full back line. But then again, how often will you have to mark somebody like Shane Walsh? Maybe when he marks Clifford in training, that's about the height of it. So yeah, I think there's room for improvement there. I think that they'll probably go into next season as favourites for the All-Ireland, and rightly so, because they are a young team with still plenty to prove and hungry for more success, I'm sure. But if you're Galway, if you're Dublin, and maybe even if you're Tyrone, you know, you're thinking, look here, there are areas to exploit there. It's about getting back, getting up to a high level, and having those 22, 23 players that you can trust in big situations.
Yeah, look, Billy Joe has covered it very eloquently. I can't add a huge amount to what he says. My thoughts, final thoughts on Kerry would be, in terms of Jack O'Connor, probably at times maybe not the most likable of characters, that I know him, but just in terms of his personality on the line, or maybe in interviews, he can come across a bit dour at times. But I think it's a testament to what he has given to Kerry football. Like, he was a selector in 1997, that's 25 years ago. He has as manager had three different stints as Kerry manager and won four All-Irelands. Like, that is, you know, that's an unbelievable achievement. And he went out, and I'm sure in Kerry, you know, when they heard that he was getting Paddy Talley down from Tyrone, that had to have question marks over that. I know he went and got Tony Griffin to work with him on the mental side of things. So he surrounded himself with good people, and he's a guy that breeds confidence and breeds that inner drive and inner want to win. And as I said, you have to tip your hat to him and say, unbelievable career. And there's no doubt, I'd stake the house on it, that he will be talking about putting back-to-back All-Irelands, this Kerry team, before the week is out. He'll be driving them, and driving them very, very hard.
There was this stage in the first half, Billy Joe, early on, 2-2, where Kerry had 14 players behind their own 45-metre line. Like, you know, as much as I've eulogised them, this was pragmatic in the extreme for Kerry, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. But sure, look, I suppose when you know, when back, I suppose, when they were beating us in 04 and 06, not that they were ultra, you know, maybe as defensive as that Tyrone team of that same era, but they're every bit as physical and, you know, and aggressive in that way. Look, Kerry, I don't think you can point to any way they're playing and say, oh, that's ultra defensive, it's not great to watch. You know what, Chet? You could probably have said that about Galway up to the All-Ireland final, that they had been maybe more defensive at times than you would expect. But then the performance in the All-Ireland final was kind of so open and front foot. It was what I'd like to say, it was front foot football, that they tried to make things happen. You know, I think what gets really frustrating to watch is when you have a team that's their whole... they're so passive. Everything is a counterattack. Everything is a reaction. You know, you probably get a bit of that with Donegal of this year and Derry of this year, that they're waiting for you to make a mistake. They're not willing to force the issue. Whereas you couldn't say that about Galway the last day. You know, there were periods of the game against Armagh where they were on the front foot as well. Derry was a struggle. But Kerry, to give them credit, they will try and play on the front foot. You only have to look at their first half performance the last day, where they risked a lot by kicking long balls in. That to me is fine. You know, that's the sort of football I want to see.
Yeah, just to add to that, like, if anybody thinks that every single Gaelic football team in the country, club and county, doesn't get 14 behind the ball at some stages, they're away with the fairies. To a certain extent, Gaelic football is now basketball without the shot clock. So if you can get a stop, if a team gets slowed down around the middle of the pitch, which is the main goal and main task of your half forward line, your midfielders, and a team goes laterally once or twice, automatically there's going to be 14 behind the ball. And then it's a case of trying to get forward as quick as possible. So every team is trying to do the same thing, maybe slightly deviating away from what everyone else is trying to do. But like, you know, make no mistake about it, every single team gets 14 and at times 15 behind the ball at some stages, and then try to get forward. You know, when they're defending, everybody's defending. When they're attacking, everybody's attacking. But, you know, they're all trying to do the same thing.
On Patreon this week, Mike Finnerty's going to be talking to Shane McGrath, chatted to him before the game, just about the Mayo season and the off season and the manager hunt. That's a special extra episode this week. More shows coming next week. Clubhouse section on the way. But for all of you who tune into us on the weekly show, thanks for doing that. Reminder to support our sponsor, the Oxford Arms in London. And a big thanks to Nigel Reap, Office and Printing Supplies too. Billy Joe, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks a million. Barry, thanks a million. We're going to chat to you on the other side. That's it from us. On to the Clubhouse section of the podcast.